Chapter 13 and verse number 1. Last week, it seems like I've been just rejoicing and just been excited about all that God has done, but it seems like it was weeks ago, but it was last week that we had our building banquet, and last Sunday night, and God did an amazing thing on that night when we were able to raise $106,000 for our new building, which is an incredible number, and something that I am still praising God, will continue to praise God for a very long time about, and thankful for all that he has done. And I wanted to preach a message today from the life of Joshua, because Joshua had done a lot in his life. He'd accomplished a lot, and God had used him to do a lot, but at the end of his life, there was still a challenge for him to accomplish. And so we might be able to think that on this day, a week after our building banquet, that we've done it. You know, we've raised $106,000. That's incredible, amazing, tremendous. Now what, right? What's next? And I want us to be careful that we don't look at that and say, well, we've done it, we've finished, and now I'm not going to have another offering. If you do, I will say this. If you weren't at the banquet and you're a member of our church and you'd like to participate in what happened on that night, you can still do that. We have connection cards, or we have the commitment cards in the back. We do encourage you to do that, because actually, with what we have in the bank, combined with a few other commitments, we're about $9,400 short of $200,000. And so if you'd like to help us get over that hump, if you're a member of our church, you'd like to do that, there are commitment cards in the back. But I'm not going to take another offering, because I'm so excited for what God did. And I've even thought to myself that even our next banquet, the next couple banquets, we're not going to take offerings. We'll just praise God for all he's done. Just enjoy some amazing food. Because to me, God just did an amazing thing. But are we done? And that's the question that I want to hope to look at this morning. Joshua chapter 13 and verse number 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. Thank you, Lord. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Let's pray and we'll look at this idea of very much land. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. I pray that you help us to have the courage to continue on, to continue going for you, to realize that while we're still here, there's still a mission. And we have a lot of plans to build a building, to continue discipling, having more disciples and more soul winning and more efforts to do your work here in this place where you've called us. So God, I do pray that you'd help us to be focused, to be moved in the direction that you would have us to go. I pray that you bless this message, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Joshua, in Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1, was between 90 and 100 years old. He is well beyond the point when most people would consider retirement. He's beyond retirement. But God still had work for him to do. God still had a job for him to accomplish. He wasn't done yet. And I mean, it's amazing. God even reminds him, hey, buddy, you are old. You are well stricken in years. I mean, that's one thing. I mean, when God says it, you know it's true. He is old. He's well stricken in years. And so I want to begin this morning by looking at the problem that Joshua had. And that is that he was old and well stricken in years. It was undeniable. He's old. That's his problem. Nothing could refute that fact. The Bible does him the pleasure of repeating it twice. You know, it says, now Joshua was old and well stricken in years. And then the Lord says to him, Joshua, you're old. You're well stricken in years. Great. Anybody else want to just remind me? I'm old and well stricken in years. It was undeniable. He's got a problem. This morning, many of us have undeniable problems. In fact, let's just be honest. All of us have undeniable problems. We all have issues that we're facing. And Joshua could have used his problem as a reason to have an excuse to accomplish what God is calling him to do. And I want to challenge us as a church, don't use your problems that we all have as a reason to keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Because we all have them. Joshua had them. And again, I don't know that there's anything more crippling, more debilitating than that reality that I'm old and I'm well stricken. the idea of being well-stricken means that he wasn't somebody who was young besides his age. You know, it had, had its effect on him. It did what age does. He was not moving as fast as he once was. He had problems with his age, and that age had affected him. And so I want to challenge us, don't let your problems be the reason for why you don't serve God. And we have lots of them. We have all these different ideas of why we can't do this and why we can't do that. And stop. His problem was undeniable. Sometimes, some of us, we have problems. Sometimes we're physically weak. Sometimes we are troubled. Sometimes it's financial difficulties or physical infirmities. There's a lot of different problems that we have, but don't let those problems keep you from doing what God was calling you to do. So his problems were undeniable. They're unavoidable. What is he supposed to do? You know? There's nothing to stop him from being old. You know, there's nothing to help him out. What could he do? The only alternative to old age is death. That's it. His problems are unavoidable. So a lot of times you might think, well, if I can just get past this problem in my life, if I can just get over this issue that I'm having right now, then I'll be in a more capable position of serving God. And that's not going to happen for Joshua. He's not going to get to a point where he says, you know what? In a few days, I won't be feeling as old. No, he'll be older. It's only going to get worse from here. It's unavoidable. It's unchangeable. Again, there's no potion Joshua could drink to remove himself from the infirmities and the actualities of age. No pill that he could take. There's nothing he could do. And one would think, in fact, that God was about to retire Joshua. Joshua, your time is done. You know, maybe that would, you know, Joshua, you're old, you're well-stricken years. There's very much land to possess. So here's the plan. We got this young guy coming up here. He's going to be the guy that's going to take your place. You're going to retire, and he's going to go on to possess the land. No, that wasn't God's plan. His age was unchangeable. It's undeniable. It's unavoidable. So then we see the pronouncement. God reminded Joshua of his potential. There remaineth very much land to be possessed. It's amazing. This is God talking to Joshua. Far from telling Joshua that his work was over, his ministry was done. You're finished. You did what you could, right? That's what we did last week. We did what we could. And it was quite a lot. I'm praising God for it. But he wasn't done. And God reminded him that there was very much more that could be accomplished. But even though God reminded Joshua of his potential, he also required his participation. You see, for us, no matter what your problems are, you have potential to be used by God. That's something I want you to know. You say, well, I've got this issue, and I've got that issue, and this is my problem, and I've got that thing going on. I've got this going on here, and I mean, you know, who knows what the situation may be. It may be a legal situation. It could be a relational situation. It could be a health situation. You could be thinking, I can't serve God, and God is here to tell you, hey, wait a minute. There's still something for you to do. I still got a job for you to do. But you're going to have to participate. One of the things I was so overjoyed with at our offering was the level of participation. You know, what I like about our church is when it comes time for an offering, we don't just all look at it, you know, we all look at so-and-so, right? Give already. Pastor's asking, you know, you need to give. No, everybody got involved. And that's what's incredible about it. Everybody gave something. Everybody did what they could. And that's what got me so excited. Because our church believes in the process. Our church understands the vision. And our church is on board with participation. That's really amazing. Because it is true that many times it's been said that 20% of the church does 80% of the work. Not on that night. We all did what we could. And that's incredible. That's amazing. Praise God for that. In chapter 13 and verse 7 of the book of Joshua, the Bible says, now therefore, divide this land for inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. So here's what you're going to do, Joshua. Here's your job. So you're old, you're well stricken in years, there's very much land to possess, but here's what you're going to do. You've got to participate. You've got to be involved in this. I think this way. You know, we have a big vision for what God wants us to do. And again, this building is just our next step. I'm praying and I'm believing there's many steps after this that we're going to take as a church. And you know what? It would be really nice. Somebody even told me after the banquet, Pastor, you need to write Mark Zuckerberg.
Did already.
No, I mean, it's... because we think that in order for God to do what God wants to do, he's going to need somebody who has a great deal of means to do it. And the reality is what God wants to do with us simply involves us doing it. It involves our participation. No, I've got to write a check. We've got to do our part. We've got to serve. Even today, in spite of our problems, in the face of difficulties, with a full awareness of our infirmities, God requires us to participate. And I want to challenge you. Again, you know, it may not be a level that you once did. It wasn't for Joshua. You know, the man did amazing works for God. We sing the song, Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. Wow. What a battle. Joshua was involved in that in a great deal. Now his involvement is a little bit less. Give this land to these guys. Give that land to these guys. That's your job. But he still had a job to do. I want to challenge you, no matter what your problems are, no matter what you're facing, there's potential, and God wants you to participate. And then God renews his promises. It's interesting to know that the land now being divided was still occupied by the enemy. So it's an amazing thing about the promised land. The land that was promised was still possessed by the enemy. And God renews his promise to Joshua. Hey, that's still my plan. My plan is still for you to possess the land. That's the job here. That's what we're going to be after. That hasn't gone away. And no matter where you're at this morning, God still has plans for you. You say, but I may be messed up, and again, I have this problem. I got this issue going on. He still wants to use you. He still wants you to participate. There's still potential. Serve him. Do what you can. In instructing Joshua to divide the land, God was once again reiterating the truth that this was to be the inheritance of his people. So he renewed his promise. But then I want to see some of the principle of obstacles. Someone has said God's promises are half held and half hope. On the one hand, God promises land with vineyards already planted, olive orchards already producing, and houses already built. On the other hand, he does not give it to the Israelites without a fight. They have to drive out the enemies. They're half held, half hope. We talk about our new building. We've got the money. A lot of it has come in and been promised, been committed. It's amazing. And I believe we're well on our way to building it. But guess what? We still have to build it. It's there. I put the plans on the back for you to see, to remind you and to look at and to be inspired by. We're still going to have to build it. You're still going to have to pound nails. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. It's us. We're going to do it. Can't afford a contractor, right? We're going to do it. We still have to build it. I believe it's there. It's ours. We've been blessed by God. Go build it. So we have to do it. I believe the same is true spiritually when it comes to our island. the gospel is powerful.
The discipleship program, hey, but you're still going to have to take the gospel. Jesus, yes, Jesus died for their sins. He rose again. That is paid. It's done for. But you still have to preach the message. We still have to preach the message. We still have to pass out tracts. By the way, we got brand new tracts. They're in the back. Pick them up. Pass them out. You want to make sure that you do that. You involve yourselves in that. We still have to do it. You know, people don't disciple themselves. People don't usually lead themselves to Christ. We've got to do that. We've got to disciple. We've got to train. We've got to teach Sunday school. We've got to be involved.
There will be obstacles.
This principle is seen again in Joshua chapter 17, verses 17 and 18. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. For it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of thine of it shall be thine. And thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, and though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. So here's what the people are told. Yeah, you guys get the additional lot. You guys get the bigger property. But you have to cut down all the wood. And you have to drive out the iron chariot Canaanites. Oh, great. But you get the extra lot. There's always problems in the work of God. There's always obstacles to the will of God. There's always things that we have to overcome and we have to fight through. Remember what Caleb told Israel when they first refused to enter the promised land? He said, yeah, there's giants in the land. He said, they are bred for us. Resisting and fighting the giants is what will make us strong. And there will be obstacles in your walk with God. And even being a part of the, listen, we don't just raise $106,000 and start to build a building without Satan saying, hey, you know what? I think I need to do some work here. We thank God for God working, but guess who else wants to work in our church? And there will be obstacles that will come. He's going to cause maybe contention or maybe something happened there, you know. You got to be ready for it. We're going to fight through that. We're going to stay with it. This is my church. I appreciate that spirit. I had to tell somebody something unpleasant recently. My job as a pastor to say something unpleasant to somebody. It's a kind of a reminder. Mild rebuke. And their response so encouraged me. Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that. I so want my life to be blessed. You're my pastor, and I love you. Well, here's what else you need to fix. You know, that's what I felt. Really, wow. It was encouraging. It was a blessing. I put an obstacle in front of them. A lot of people, I heard there was something interesting. Somebody was telling me recently, they said they were going to church, and they started to serve, and there was a different church, and the pastor said, you need to get baptized in order to do this. And the person just got twisted with that. And they left the church over. It's sad. And there will be obstacles that will come. And we overcome those to serve God. We get past that. I'm going to do it. You know, and literally, I would say this. Truthfully, serving God is so amazing. It's not required. But if it was required, I get baptized every day. Bring my bar of soap. You know, I mean, seriously, what's the big deal? You know, you are going to get wet every day. Maybe you don't. Oh. Most people take showers every day. You know, I mean, that's not what God requires, but one time, go down in the water and up out of the water, it's not a big deal. Just to serve Him. That was the requirement. You've heard me tell my story about me having to get rid of my precious Denver Broncos jacket to serve God. Hey. And it is. Serving God, you have to overcome the obstacles. You have to make sure that there will be obstacles there, and you want to overcome them. Then there's the principle of opportunity. You know what?
could any church in America honestly say, not honestly say, there remaineth very much land yet to possess? I mean, every church in America can say that. No matter where you're at. No matter how big it is. No matter how many people come to church. I don't know of a church or a town where 100% of people come to church and follow the Lord. If that's true, there's a neighbor town. If that's taken to, there's a neighbor state. Trust me, there's a harvest field. It's white. There remaineth very much land yet to possess. There's work to be done. There's opportunity. It was General Douglas MacArthur. He once said that a man is old when he begins to look backward instead of forward. We have a choice. We can look forward and enjoy God's blessing in the days ahead, or we can look backwards at what God has done and forfeit what God wants to do for us today. You know, I believe with all my heart that what happened on Sunday night for our church was an absolute miracle. I do. But what about today's miracle? What about this Sunday's miracle? Well, we graduated from discipleship. Praise God. That's big. You know, people came to church again. Woohoo! Praise God. They're following Christ. I love, and I will remember what happened on Sunday night till the day I die. And I will thank Him for it. And I will praise Him for it. And I will not stop praising Him for it. But I'm not going to look at that as a reason to go half-hearted into today. And look back at that and say, look what God did. My goal is to look ahead and say, look at what God is going to do. Look at what God is doing. There remaineth very much land yet to possess. And again, I believe you gave, you did all that you could. I'm not going to take another offering, period. We'll take one after the service today, but not a building offering. But the reality is there's still a lot to do. There's still service. There's still, I really want to get that ballet ministry going so we can have ballet services for people who come and park their cars. Perfect. Solve the parking issue. Boom. Amazing. There's a lot of things that still very much land yet to possess. You know, we're going to have more Sunday school classrooms when we get the new building. We're going to need teachers. We need programs. We have to do something with them. We don't look backwards, we look forward. When Henry Fawcett was 20 years old, his father accidentally discharged his shotgun on a hunting trip. And as a result, he blinded his son in both eyes. Before the accident, Henry had been a bright, ambitious young man with a great future. No one would have blamed him if the accident had made him bitter and full of despair. And in fact, that's exactly what happened at first. But there was one thing that saved him. He loved his father deeply, and he knew his father was nearly out of his mind with grief over what he had done to his son. So the only way he could save his father's sanity was to choose hope over despair. And so he did. He pretended to take an interest in life when he did not feel like taking an interest in life, just to help his father. He's just pretending. He pretended to have hope he did not possess and believed that he could be a useful citizen, though he felt that that wasn't possible. And then an amazing thing happened. The pretense turned into a reality. And as if by an act of will, he changed his total life. And as a result, Henry Fawcett was elected to Parliament in England, and he later became Postmaster General, where he brought about great improvements to the English postal and telegraph systems. And he became a great man because he had both hope, one hand hope, one hand God had the other, and he followed. There's an opportunity for us. Maybe something happened to you. Maybe it's disengaged or distracted or detract. Maybe you're wondering, is there anything left for me to do? I feel like all hope is gone.
God's here today to tell you, you know what? You've got a problem. Yeah, you've got it. It's real. Your problem's not imagined. It's real. You're old for Joshua,
well stricken in years. But wait a minute. You've still got potential. My promises are still true.
And we need to get busy with doing it. And then that brings us to the principle of obligation. God didn't ask Joshua to volunteer. He did not suggest, you know what, Joshua, it would be really nice. You're old, you're well stricken in years. There remaineth very much land to be possessed. It would be nice if you could possess it for us. It would be nice if you could do that. In fact, if you feel led, would you do that? He didn't ask Joshua to volunteer. He did not hint that perhaps it would be good if Joshua decided to go forward. He commanded him. From Joshua, you're going to do this. He commanded him to possess the remainder of the land. So too are we commanded to go, to teach, to baptize, to teach or disciple. That's not a suggestion for us. You know, if you guys get around to it, hey, Quiet Baptist Church, if you guys can get around to it, if you get time on your day, you know, if you feel like it, comes around, could you do this one? No. It's a command. You get it done. And yeah, we have problems. But there's still potential. There's still opportunity. There will be obstacles. But we also have that obligation. We've got to go. Today, though we stand on, I believe, one of the greatest victories our church has ever seen, just a week ago, there's still very much land to possess. And now, we're all broke, you know. But God says, hey, you know what? My promises are true. The opportunity is available. The harvest is white. Let's work together and get it done. And that's my prayer for our church, that we would now in this time, we have a few months till the building plans go in, till they go into the county, till we really start getting that going. So let's gear up our ministry. Let's gear up our service. Let's start working together. Just like we gave together, let's start serving together as a church, seeing things function like a well-oiled machine. Start accomplishing that great commission. Seeing souls saved, baptized, discipled, involved in ministry. Souls saved, baptized, discipled, involved in ministry. And the process just keeps repeating. Saved, baptized, discipled, ministry. Saved, baptized, discipled, ministry. Over and over again. And that's God's plan. That's church. And it's amazing. And I want to do it together with you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for what you've done in our church. Thank you that even though we were able to do a lot on the building banquet, and you did it through us, and we're praising you for doing it, God, I do pray that you help us to be excited about the vision you've given us to serve you in the coming days together as a church family. So when we hear a new ministry announced, help us to be involved in that. So God, I pray that you might do mighty things. God, also, I pray if there's somebody here today that does not know you as their Savior, I pray that today they would get saved. I want to ask you that question with every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. Just for the time of invitation, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I realize that I'm a sinner. All of us are sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. All of us are sinners. The Bible says the wages of sin, the price for sin is hell. Death. I don't like that price. Neither do you. And God loves us. That he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave you Jesus so that you could be saved. And say, you know what, today, Pastor, I know I'm a sinner. I realize there's a price for my sin, but I'd like to know Jesus Christ. I'd like to be saved. If that's you, I want to pray for you. If you raise your hand up, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I don't know I'm saved. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you raise your hand up, I'll see it. I'll have you put it down. And I'll pray. Anybody like that here today? All right, then, Christian, there's very much land left to be possessed. Yes, you've got problems.
God knows them. Many times we know them. But let's get over those obstacles. Let's look to our opportunities as an obligation to serve God. Again, Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you bless this opportunity of an invitation. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take our hymn book. We're going to hymn number 1.